I thought it was appropriate on Mother's Day to kind of title this, Never Run Out of Wine. Never, ever run out of wine. Now, I'm not talking, you know, I don't want to go to your house and be like, Pastor, look at these 40 bottles I have. I did this because you told me to never run out. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, wine can represent many things in the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
Wine can represent the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Wine can also represent joy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a drunk person?
Yeah,
I've seen quite a few of them. I remember, you know, even if you've ever gone on State Street, there's a good chance you've seen a couple. And I remember one kid, he passed out. Bless his heart. It was a snowing day, and I was going around the Capitol, and he was walking across the square, and he was staggering. So I'm like, you know, I better come to a stop. I don't know what this kid is going to do. And I came to a stop, and he swaggered out in the middle of the street trying to cross it. And then all of a sudden, he swaggered back a little bit. And then he started going forward a little bit more, and then he went back a little bit more, and then he collapsed in my lane. So I put my emergency lights on. I got out of my vehicle and picked him up. He was face down in the snow. And when I picked him up, you know what he did? He looked at me and he laughed. He laughed. And I drug him to the sidewalk and I called 911 and I had a cop coming to take care of this kid. So what I bring that point up is the Bible, one, tells us be not drunk with wine in excess. Right? And I'm going to tell you something. Don't be drunk in anything in excess. Don't be drunk in hate. Don't be drunk in anger, because that stuff will overtake you just as much as liquor will overtake you, just as much as being drunk with wine will overtake you. Anger will overtake you, and you'll wake up in the penitentiary and wonder, how did I get here? You don't get drunk in anything. I'll also say this. Don't you get drunk in love either. Mm-hmm. Because that makes you do some stupid stuff. That will make, I love him. Go love someone else. There's some people, love is a blinder. Don't you be drunk that you can't see someone's faults. Ask my wife. She'll tell you all my faults. She has a list of them. But you know what? She loves me and she's in love with me. And so you don't get drunk in anything that will cause you to make decisions that you wouldn't make normally in a sound mind. Don't you get caught up in that mess. I've had people tell me, it seems to be women. Men do this too, but it seems to be the majority women. I love him. Pastor, I love him. Yeah, you want another black eye? But I love him. So yeah, but apparently he doesn't love you the same way. But I'm in love with him. What do you love about him? That normally throws a whole lot of people off. What? Well, he was there when I needed him. Uh-huh. Yeah, so were your parents. All right. I'll get off this. I see this makes some people nervous this morning. You don't get drunk in anything. You don't get blinded by anything. The Bible tells us clearly, don't get blinded. But I bring this up about this young man because he had joy. He was happy about something. Because you know what? He forgot about all the problems and how he's going to have to sell his blood next week just because he's a college student to make, you know, buy some, I forget the name of those noodles. What are those noodles? Ramen noodles and, you know, hot water, making them in a coffee pot. I don't know what's going on with college kids. I wasn't like that. Thank God. We ain't going to get into my college experience. I loved college. My parents made sure I had everything I needed. Aren't they awesome? But I also had money and worked myself, so don't you make sure you don't leech off your parents either. Can I get some parents in? Amen. All right. Especially, anyway. So in all of this, let's go to John before I get too lost here. John 2 and 3. We're going to look at this. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to a marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you've been in an area of your life where you wanted something, and you found out it wasn't there. Hello? Maybe you wanted love. Maybe you wanted someone to love you, and it wasn't there. You know what? I had somebody tell me, well, if I don't do this, I can't do any better. They're like, that's a lie. That's a lie. Well, yeah, but he's been good to me when he's not cheating on me. Oh, I'm sure he was, honey. I'm sure he was. Isn't that nice? You know, even the devil can show up like an angel of light.
Amen.
Mm. And so disconnect yourself with the devil and hook up with somebody in the light. Now, married folk, that's a whole different story for you. You hooked up. I ain't saying you got to stay. Don't you? First of all, you don't. Man, I don't know why we're going this route. You don't allow nobody to use you as a punching bag. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You don't allow nobody to use you as a punching bag. You don't allow nobody to throw cast iron skillets at you. Or throw grits or anything else on you. Well, that's what they do in the South. Y'all throw oatmeal, I'm sure. Cream of wheat. And so you're not going to be abused by nobody. And you set perimeters. You set perimeters. And you tell people, be like, nobody speaks to me like that. I don't care who you are. Nobody speaks to me like that. And you treat me with respect. I'm going to treat you with respect, but you don't talk to me like that. Oh, man, that's good. And single people, I want to tell you this, too. I've had somebody say, well, I'm lonely. Well, you know what? You know what's worse than being single and lonely? Being married and lonely. Because that happens. I've seen it. I know a lot of people who are married and they're lonely. Oh, my goodness. So maybe you lost your joy. Maybe you've lost friendships. Or even maybe a marriage went wrong. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody who promised to protect you, to promise to be there, or didn't promise, but you just should have. Maybe your parents were not parents to you. We've seen cases like that in Madison, in our local news, where kids have been found walking the sidewalks in nothing but nightgowns or clothes that they sleep in while their parent is off at a juke joint or a bar, as you would say up here. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe you were talked about. Maybe your parents never said nice things about you. Maybe they were always condescending to you. And maybe they always said you would never amount to anything. Maybe they weren't parents. Maybe they were selfish. Maybe they were jerks. Maybe they never did what they were supposed to. Maybe they left you in dangerous situations. And maybe you feel like as the wine ran out of the wedding, your joy has drained out of you because of situations or circumstances that you have faced in the past. I want you to know something. Real joy comes from the Holy Spirit when He is in control of your life. If you're counting on other people to bring joy, you are going to be sadly mistaken all the days of your life. Because people's going to let you down. I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor is going to let you down in a period of time. I know that blows you out of the water, but there's going to be a time that you think that I have to be there and I'm not going to be there. There's going to be times that you think I should have answered my phone and I'm not going to answer my phone. And I'm going to tell you, when you have 100 people plus to look after, there's a lot of phone calls. Do you know what disgusts me right now? I have over 8,000 emails in my inbox. Over 8,000. And I work very hard at getting through them. I really do. But son, it is just overwhelming sometimes. And I'm just going to say this too. You're not my most overwhelming people, which is wonderful. I love that. You're normally not so bad. It's people who listen to our podcast who don't go to good churches or don't go to church at all that give me my most trouble. Isn't that crazy? We get a lot of hits on our podcast, which is exciting. That's exciting. I think last week was a low week for us. I think the lowest day we had last week on the podcast was 68 or 69 people in one day.
Wow.
Not too shabby. And I say that's because of y'all telling people about the church and telling people about and people who have visited. Madison is our number one hit. We'll go through those stats later at a different time. But maybe that's what you feel like. Maybe you feel like the joy has drained from your life, either from a person, from a situation, or both, or absolutely both. We've got to be diligent to watch over ourselves and the Word of God. And it's no surprise. I love how people always act surprised. And people come to me sometimes, and I'm not talking about you or any one individual, but it's like, but Pastor, I don't know how I got here. I don't know. It just happened. And I would like to, you know, the part of me would like to say, well, it's probably when you started dating this dirtbag and then you started sleeping with him and then you moved in with him and then you found out he was cheating on you, but he said he would never do it again, and you believed him and made up with him and you kept staying with him, and now you're where you are. Or I'd like to say, oh, yeah, you know, probably because you have a boat and a new car and, you know, you keep upgrading your wardrobe every year because it makes you feel happy. And financially, all of a sudden, you got to where you are. And from the outside, sometimes it can be so clear. But I'm going to tell you, I've made these same mistakes. I've made same mistakes that got me somewhere where I look and say, how did I get here? Because we've looked for happiness and not the truth of the joy of the Word of God. We've looked for happiness in things. We've looked in happiness in people. And we have not found them. Because we deny or want to have instant gratification over the truth of the Word of God. Do you know sometimes when you follow the Word of God, it embarrass you. It embarrass you to follow. Can I just give you an instant? I'll give you an instance of why it can be embarrassing. The Lord will warn you. The Lord will warn you. The Bible says that it is the prudent person that sees trouble and does something about it, but it is the simple that sees it and keeps walking and then will eat the fruit of it. They'll suffer the pain of it. And sometimes when you see danger coming in the stock market or in our economy, and then all of a sudden you might have bought ounces of gold, or you might have stored up, or you might have enough food for 3 months in your home because you think that maybe a major snowstorm will come because you live out in the boonies somewhere, and you store this up and people look at you and say, well, what are you, one of those preppers? Are you a hoarder? Are you trying to build an ark, Moses? See, nobody caught that. Did anyone catch that? Okay, I was wondering. They don't even know who built it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say Moses built the ark. And Noah let my people go. So, when Jesus let his nets down at the burning bush. But people... Listen, if people will probably mock you, because I want to tell you something. If they don't mock you because you're making the right choice, if they say that you are right, it will show that they haven't properly prepared. And they will have to admit they're not doing what it takes to survive or get to the place they need to get to, and you are. So therefore, it's easier to deflect on you. And so sometimes it might be a little embarrassing to explain why you have to cut some people out of your life, or why you have to cut back in your spending because you want to get out of debt. And they say, well, you're not any fun anymore. Isn't that interesting? And I'm going to tell you something else that doing the will of God will do. It will bring relief. Because when you get there, you know, I think it's wise. If you rely on natural gas, LP, that people come and fill the tank up. We got some people, does Salk have to do that? I don't know. Okay, there are some cities out there, Mesomany and that area, you have to do that. I think it's wise to have enough food for a period of time and enough water for a period of time. Because if it snows like crazy and they can't get out there, we're in Wisconsin, for God's sake. I've heard the stories, walking 50 feet of snow uphill both ways to school. I've heard those stories. You should prepare for that. It could happen. And other people might make fun of you for that. But it will bring relief knowing that if the power goes out, you have what it takes to take care of you and your family. I'm not talking about preparing for the apocalypse, because there ain't nothing you're going to do to prepare for that. But what I'm telling you is to sometimes just see trouble and to make provisions. Some people might think you're a little crazy. Anyway. Or because you can't allow certain things in your life. Or you can't watch certain movies or visit certain websites. Then, you know, let's talk about movies for a moment. We're so off track right now, it's not even funny. But let's talk about movies. Do you know movies affect people in different ways? Oh, yes. Then you need to be led by the Spirit of God. I can't watch horror movies. Can't watch them. You know why? Yeah, they are gross, but they make me shout and scream and pray. Yeah, they make me pray for people that are in movies. I have caught myself praying for people. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help them. And please don't let them go in that elevator. They know never to go in an elevator when there is someone killing people. But they go in the elevator anyway. They go in the dark room and hide. And who pops up behind them? And then when they kill them, you keep at it until you know they ain't moving. Mm-mm. So those movies, I can't watch those movies. They affect me in a way that and there's some people that can watch movies like that and laugh hysterically. And I'll tell you something, my mom, she can't watch war movies. I love war movies. I love them. I love them. Whether they are brutal or not brutal, I love a good war movie because I feel these people are fighting for something they believe in. And so there's other things. So you need to watch. There's stuff that affects you in certain ways. Music affects me. I can't listen to every form of music out there. I love all types of music. I love everything from opera to rap to, I'm trying to think of all the genres, bluegrass, country. I like it all. I like every bit. The only thing I don't like, I will say, I don't like German opera. Something about Germans speaking, just really harsh. And I don't like hard rock where they're screaming the entire time. If I won't scream the entire time, I'm going to go in the nursery. And just play some music in the background. I don't like that stuff. But I'll tell you something. There's like even country music I don't want. You know what happens when you play country music in reverse? You get your house back, your car back, your dog back, your wife back. No. But there's some music I can't listen to. I'll tell you. There's one that's like, there's a song that says, "What About Me?" I remember when that came out. It talks about the needs of others, but then it came about me. And that thought got in my head. And then somebody asked me, a friend asked me to do something. I thought, well, you always, I didn't say this out loud, but I thought, you always ask me to do junk. And what do you do for me? Sometimes it needs to be about me. And then I thought, well, you know, that came right from that song. I better get that out of my head. I better not sing that ever, ever again. There's stuff that affects us, and some people will make fun of you because you don't allow that in your house, or you don't allow your kids just to go everywhere, or you're very particular about knowing who's picking your kids up when they're going to drop them off, or who they hang out with. Some people will be like, that's so old-fashioned, because you say, I got to know their mother, I got to know their father, I got to know their siblings, I got to know their household, I got to meet these people. You can't go stay with them. And other people will tell you, Mom, nobody does that.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah. They do if they want their kids to be protected. They do if they want their kids to come home. They do if they want their kids to be safe. Because let me tell you something. Your friend's mom and daddy may be great, but I don't know their brother, and I don't know the uncle that comes over. I don't know the household, and I don't know what movies play over there. But I know what happens in my house. I always thought it was interesting that my mom didn't let me go stay with everybody like all their other friends did. But now I know why. And I've heard my friend's story, and I'm thankful I don't have the same story. I am very thankful. Man, y'all get off track easy, don't you? Now, we don't allow situations or things that we go through to zap our joy from us. The joy comes from the Holy Spirit. But there have been times in all our lives where we felt like Jesus, where we show up to the party and they say, "Where's the wine?" And they then tell us, "There is no wine." So there are times we get to places where we wonder, where's the joy? Wasn't joy supposed to come when we got married? Wasn't joy supposed to come when we got the great job? Wasn't joy supposed to come when we got the kids? Wasn't joy supposed to come when we got the new car? Wasn't joy supposed to come with all these things? Why do I still feel empty inside? Why am I still longing for more? No matter how much I get, I move to the new neighborhood and there's a home bigger than mine. I thought the house would make me happy. I thought the husband or wife would have made me happy. And for a while there was joy. And then reality set in. And I realized that I still haven't fixed the problems that I've been facing. And it seems like I'm out of wine. Seems like I'm out of joy. I'm going to look at 6 points that I pull from this story. Are you ready? Number one, Jesus was invited to the party. Jesus was invited to the wedding. We got to recognize we can't do it on our own. We got to recognize we got to invite Jesus into our situation. And I'm talking all of our life. Because see, this is a problem we have in church today. Jesus, I'm fine with you coming in my life, but don't touch this over here. I need this. I've had this in my life for a long time. I've acted this way for all my life. Jesus, and then we go into trying to even explain and justify in our own self. Something about the human condition that makes us want to justify when we're in the wrong. Adam did it. Eve did it. And I've said this many times. I wonder what would have happened if Adam would have just fell down and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've messed up. And sometimes that's what we need to do instead of saying, but Lord, it's this thing happened in my life. You allowed this to happen and this is the result. Instead of saying that, be like, Lord, I know I'm wrong. Help me. Help me to get out of this. But Lord, it was uncle, and it was so-and-so, and it was my neighbor, and it was my wife, and it was my ex, and it was this, and it was because what happened to me as a child, and it's all this, and it's zapped my joy. Now you can get in, and I want to go to heaven, and I know that I believe in you, so I'm on my way to heaven, but don't you dare, this hurts too much, this bothers me too much. If I can't do that, Lord. I can't allow people into my life. I can't allow them in my relationship. Yeah, I know I made a covenant with them, but I can't let them in. I've been hurt too much. And if you get in that over there, I'm too vulnerable. I'm in too much pain over here. And honestly, where were you when it happened anyway? Where were you? This was supposed to be. Isn't this a promise? Isn't this what you called me to? Whether it's a ministry, whether it's a family, no matter what it is. We see this as the children of Israel going into the desert. Lord, you brought us out here to the land of Mar. Didn't you know this water was bitter? Didn't you know this was my problem? And you led me here anyway? At least when I was a slave, yeah, they beat me, but I had water. At least in that horrible relationship, I did feel loved every once in a while. At least in that job, yeah, they never paid me what I deserved, but I didn't have to work this hard to get ahead. And we're trying to justify why we don't want the Lord to get involved in here. And sometimes it may be a work, and it may be a struggle walking through what seems to be like a desert, but God never brings you to a desert that there isn't a place that flows with milk and honey on the other side. He's trying to get you to something, not to get you to die. He's not trying to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's trying to get you to what's beyond it. And so we need to recognize without God, we can't do it. Without the Lord, we can't do it. So we need to invite Him into every area of our life. John, write this down. John 14 and 6 says, And Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Number two, are you ready for this? Point two, Jesus arrived just as the wine ran out. And I've heard this statement before, and I don't believe this is a true statement. I do not believe this is a true statement, but I'm going to tell it to you. And then I'm going to tell you why I don't believe it. Jesus is never early, and he's never late. No, I don't believe Jesus is ever late, but I do believe Jesus shows up early sometimes. I believe he shows up and warns you, and he'll lead you in a direction that you don't even know why you're starting to take these steps. There was a point in our marriage where the Lord led us and said, get out of debt. Do everything you can do to get out of debt. So you know what I did? I went to my wife and I said, Jesse, let's double up on everything. Let's double up on every car payment, everything we got. Let's double up on it and get rid of it. And that didn't make someone that just got married and had two paychecks to spend very happy. There was a look of confusion. And then this was how I sold it. Men, are you ready for this? This is how I sold it to her. I don't know how you'll sell it to your wife, but this is how I sold it to mine. I said, just think, when we pay everything off, that entire amount, I'll let you have one whole month to spend every bit of it. And then I saw a perk up. All right, let's get out of debt. But it was pivotal. It was a word from God months before we ever saw a drought come our way, a month before we ever saw finances drop to nothing in our life. We paid everything off, and then everything went south really quick. And there's two responses to that. God, we were supposed to have wealth overrunning us now. And then the other response is, God, thank you for seeing this. I never saw this coming. And if you wouldn't have spoke to me months and months and months ago to prepare for this, I'd be in a world of trouble right now. Thank you for showing me. There's two responses to that. And so God will warn you early enough. My prayer is, God, please let me see the trouble that is coming. Let me have the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to execute it. That needs to be our prayer this morning. Jesus arrived as the wine ran out. It's a lie from Satan to think the problem is too big for God to fix. It is a lie. I don't care. Think of the biggest problem in your life. Right now, let's just all take a moment. Something you want to see change. I mean, really dig in. About you, not about your wife, husband, or kids, or boss, but about you. Something that's been there forever. All right, you got it? If you think that's too big to change, you need to recalibrate who you think God is. He's big enough to tackle it. Number three, are you ready? Jesus' mother told the servants to do what he said. This is so funny to me. I'm amazed in our Christian culture that we tell God everything he needs to do. Have you noticed that? Lord Jesus, get involved in this, and I want you to move this, and I want you to move that. God, get involved with this person and open their eyes so they can see what they're doing wrong, Jesus. And Lord, if they refuse, move them out of the way. I'm not telling you to kill them, but if that's what it takes, oh, Lord, so be it. You know, you get into prayer, and you're telling Jesus everything to do. How about sit back and listen to what Jesus says to do? How about that? I know that may be a new concept for people, but quit telling Jesus what to do and allow him to instruct you. Believe in him and believe the word that says all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. So get in the word and allow Jesus to speak to you instead of you telling Jesus everything he needs to do. Are you ready for number four? Jesus commanded the pots to be filled with water. Now, these pots, they're vessels. Now, this symbolizes us. We're earthly vessels. The Bible calls us earthly vessels. And the Bible even says that about people, there are some to honor and some to dishonor. One, just a side note, you don't show everybody honor. That's right. You don't have to honor everybody. Amen. I find it interesting when people demand honor. And they've done nothing to deserve it. How interesting. Now, I'm not overriding any scripture that says honor your mother and father. You honor them, whether they deserve it or not. You don't have to. If your parents are, never mind, we won't get in that. You're smart enough to know that if your parents are trying to kill you, you run. And so we're to be filled with the promises of God, with the Spirit of God. And we have miracle potential on the inside of us. Number five, are you ready? The water turned to wine without a command from Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible once the water, they didn't bring the water before Jesus. They didn't roll out the barrels. Oh, roll out the barrels. That's Wisconsin thing. They didn't roll out the barrels and polka and put them in front of Jesus and wait for Jesus to, you know, do sensei stuff, you know, rub his hands together until they got real hot and then lay his hands on the barrel and in a commanding voice, God command, water, I demand the molecules to change and turn into wine. Ah, and then, you know, the stars burst, a big bang in the background and everything changed. No, you know what they did? They just did what the Lord commanded. And as they did what the Lord commanded, his promise came to pass. So this is what interests me. So many Christians are saying, Lord, when should I start my ministry? Lord, when should I do this? Lord, you have called me to do something. Well, God, why don't you just start stepping out and do it and become faithful at something? How about this? This is going to shock you. How about being faithful to your local church? How about show up on Sundays? How amazing. How dumbfounding, right? Be like, wait. Every Sunday morning? Every Sunday morning? Yeah, try that. Well, I work. Well, you know what? I've never seen a workplace that wouldn't let you take at least one Sunday off a month to honor the Lord.
That's good.
And if they do, you might need to find a new job. I'm going to tell you something. When I looked for secular jobs that I've had in my past, I always said up front, I don't work on Sundays. I always stated that. Always, right up front. I don't work on Sundays. You know why? Because I go to church and I honor the Lord. And then my employer, I've had a couple ask me this. Said, what if we absolutely have to have you on a Sunday? What if we are short? And my statement to them, well, the Bible tells us if an ox falls in the ditch, that I can get him out. And they looked at me very weird about that, didn't they? And I had to explain it to them. I said, well, the Bible tells us if work must be done on a Sunday to do it. I said, so, yeah, I can be there. But let me tell you this. If I find out you're pushing him in the ditch, I'm going to quit. And so many people have been told, my ox fell in the ditch. Well, did you push him? Because I did notice it was 75 degrees out today. All right. And so... I'm sorry. The water turned into wine without a command from Jesus. There are some things we don't have to ask the Lord. It's in His Word, and we just do the Word. We walk in the Word, and blessing automatically comes. Finances automatically come. Why? Because we're walking in the Word. We're walking in the Word. We're training our kids in the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. And we see that happen because we're walking in the Word. God doesn't have to show up and command something. God doesn't have to show up and speak something. We have the Word. And as we walk out the Word, miracles begin to happen. The problem in most Christians, when they come up to a mountain, they just sit down and say, Lord, that's really hard to climb. And you know, I haven't climbed a mountain in a long time. I don't even know if I have the equipment anymore. I didn't bring my ropes or my harness, and somebody should probably just teach me how to, you know, tie the knots again, Lord. And I didn't bring any chalk for my hands and all this. So, God, I'm just going to sit here until you move it. And what does the Bible tell us? Speak unto the mountain. Amen. Believe in your heart, and it shall obey who?
You.
So many people are waiting for the Lord to speak. He already spoke. It's a book, 66 books, the Bible. He already spoke. We should get in the Word and start doing the Word. Amen? So, we don't have to talk to God about our problems all the time. You need to speak to your problems. Do you know what? I like David and Goliath. I like that story. You know why? David's just awesome, period. I really enjoy David. He's a good guy. But David, when he had a Goliath in his way, David spoke to Goliath as he went out. He walked out onto the battle. Well, he ran out onto the battle, and Goliath spoke to him and said, I'm going to crush you, you little peon. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, but you can read it. And then David, I love David's response. He's like, hey, let me tell you something, Goliath. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to put it on a pole as a sign to anyone else who wants to touch me. Today is the day God has delivered you into my hands. So, I would recommend you not speak to people that way. You might have a prison ministry immediately. And people aren't our problem. It's the problem behind the people. So what you can do is talk to your situation. You could talk to your job. You could talk to the problems that are happening in your home. You can lay hands on your home. You walk your property and say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. There shall be peace within my walls. And anything that comes into my house, any person, if they carry in anything that evil is attached to them, it has to stay at the street until their butt goes back home. It doesn't come into my house. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and it is in my home. I don't allow anything that would come to influence in any way my family or my life here. Peace dwells within these walls. You begin to speak to it. Sometimes, you know, you should, I don't know if you have an imagination like I do, but I just step out and do things just because it makes me laugh and it makes me have fun, and it just proves the word. Sometimes I'll get out in my yard and I wave and nobody's there. And I just wave to all the corners and turn all the way around. And be like, huh, can't come in. Go ahead and stay out there. I don't know what the other neighbors are dealing with, but you can't come in here. Amen. Stay over there.
That's right.
That's just me. That's just me. You act in the faith the way you do it. You might think it's ridiculous the way I do it. That's fine. A lot of people do. Yeah. One last point, and then I'm done. The wine at the end was better than at the beginning. When Jesus is invited, he always saves the best for last. Because it's a progression. Whenever you walk with the Lord, every step is greater than the step before. I ain't saying you ain't going to face some hard times. I'm not saying you're not going to go through a desert. I'm not going to say that you're not going to go through a trial. I'm not going to say that you're not going to face something that's painful or people are going to turn their back on you. Some people will turn their back on you simply because you're walking the path. And as you walk the path, it makes them realize that they're not walking the path. And they either have to curse you, they have to get rid of you, because your very presence shows that they ain't doing what they need to be doing. And so a lot of times when people come at you, what is it about me? No, it's nothing about you. What it is about you is that you're on the path.
Amen.
And so don't try to take it personal. There's some people that will turn their back on you, excommunicate you. And I ain't talking about the world. I'm talking about saved Christians who know Jesus. They will turn their back on you. Because if they know that what you're doing is right, then there's stuff in their life that they're not doing that is. And so they have to criticize you and get rid of you. You either have to join them or they have to get rid of you. Because you show them what they should be and what they should be doing. And that irritates people. Bless you. But as we walk, the walk with Christ gets better. It gets better. And I want to tell you something. If you say, oh, I miss the good old days. Oh, the days you're walking into are much better than the days you left behind. But I'm lonely right now, Pastor. Yeah. Well, welcome to my world. Sometimes it is lonely. It's lonely to be at the top. It's lonely to do what the Lord tells you to do. But God always has the people you need to hook up with on your path. See, this is your path. You start walking your path and you get a little lonely and there's somebody down there. There's a friendship. There's a relationship. There's bonds down there and you get lonely and you see somebody right here. Well, you'll do. Let's just talk a little while. Well, you like to go to the bars? Okay. Well, I don't really like to go there, but I'll go because, you know, we have so much in common. And I enjoy, you know, I need a friend. I'm lonely. No. You get back on your path. Get back on your path and keep walking. And there'll be distractions to the right and to the left. And the devil has always done this. He's been good at it. Even with Jesus. He's like, hey, Jesus, jump off this temple. It's written in the word of God that your foot shall not dash against a stone. And Jesus' response was, well, I don't live by flesh and blood. Oh, excuse me, wrong. I'm thinking of the wrong one. His response was, tempt not the Lord thy God. And so the devil will try to sidetrack you with something on the side. Stay on the path. You know where this path leads? To the Lord. Where does this path lead? To a distraction. I hope nobody takes offense that I pointed toward them. Can I tell you something? I want to end with this. I know how to get to Florida. I don't need a GPS. I've traveled back home to my hometown. I know how to do it. And I know different routes. And I know what best time it is to hit those routes. Like my GPS always tells me to go through Chicago. You don't go through Chicago if it's the middle of the day. Uh-uh. You go through Chicago if you're driving at 1 to 2 or 3 in the morning. And don't get off on the north side in some places or the south side. No, you don't get off in those places. You stay on the interstate and you drive right on through. Now, during the day, it might be all right to visit those places, but it's going to take you 5 hours to get there. And so depending on the time of the day, I know the path that gets me to where I need to go. And you know what? That path leads me to St. George Island, Florida every time. Every time. It never changes. It never. There's, you know, I could go on a side distraction. And sometimes I just disobey. I disobey my GPS because I know the GPS is wrong. I know what's right. I know the faster route. I know that route. It leads me there every time. And you know what? If your problem, if you're complaining about the end result of things that are going on in your life, guess what? There's a path. And you know it goes there every time. If you don't like Chicago, quit getting on the interstate and going to Chicago in the loop. Yep. Stop doing it. That's so interesting. People driving around town saying, oh, I hate this place. I don't know why God keeps bringing me here. You're on the path. It leads there every time. The highway doesn't pick up and move to another slot. Oh, I didn't know I-39 led this direction. Yes, you did. It's on the map. The path leads you there every time. Stay on the path which is righteous. Stay on the path which is the Lord. And the end will always be better than the beginning. God never leaves you where he found you. He always takes you to a higher place. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word.